for that. Now, tonight, I'd like you to turn to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Could you turn there, please? And we're going to just kind of hit some verses here tonight, and I'm going to title this thing for you so you know. Why were you born? And why are you alive upon the earth is the title. But Isaiah 43 kind of lets us know a little bit about it. And in Isaiah 43, if you get there, James, in verse 7 he says, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Oh, that's not verse 11, 30, 43. I'm sorry. That sounded pretty good, though. That wasn't it. Okay. Verse 7 of verse chapter 43. My page flipped in the fan. Even every one of us that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. That's why you were created, for his glory. And he goes on, I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Before we were born, God knew us. He filled us. And then he gave us his word. By the way, I think people have enough of the word of God in them. When you and I witness to someone, the Bible says at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. If you go to a court of law, it takes somebody to witness against what you did, okay, to get you convicted. So when you and I witness to somebody and share the word of God with them, then they are sitting there listening to you. They may not agree with you, but the Holy Spirit of God speaks to their heart with the word of God that's already in it. When you say to somebody, do you realize you're a sinner? They know they're a sinner. When you say, do you know where you're going to go when you die? They know they're not. They don't know where they're going. I remember as a kid, we were told you can never know that. Never know where you're going. Oh, I don't know. I got saved and I read a verse of scripture that said, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Why would God not want us to know if we have eternal life? When I was born into my family, my dad and my mom, I didn't really know them. I was just a baby, right? But I got to know them. And as I grew, I realized, I'm in the family. I'm part of the family. I can't get out if I wanted to. I tried to once. I ran away and got in trouble, got a spanking from my grandmother. Never did that again. But anyway, I was only 4 years old. You know, the police had to bring me back. But anyway, you never did that. But I did. I was a sinner. I still am, by the way. But anyway, to be a part of a family is so important. It's our life's blood, amen? But to be born again into the family of God, we're to bring glory to God. That's why he created us, to be able to bring glory unto him. That's what we're here for. Not to build ourselves up, but to build him up. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak about himself. He speaks about God, the Father, and the Son, amen? We need to be like that. We need to bring glory. He said, everyone that is called by my name, he said, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Secondly, Isaiah 43, verse 21, look there. It says, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. We are supposed to praise God, amen? Bring praise unto the Father. I don't mean be fanatical about it where you just constantly, oh, praise God, I'm glad that broke, praise God. No, bring praise to him and glorify him with your life. And I want you, thirdly, at Revelation 4:11, we read that earlier this morning. It said, for thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We're created to bring glory to God, to bring praises to God, and to bring pleasure to God. You know, if we do those things, we're going to have a better life. I really believe that. When I was growing up, and probably when you did too, when I did what my dad told me to do, it was much better than when I disobeyed him. Right? When I brought pleasure to my family, they were proud of me. Why? Because that's an important thing. Same thing with our Heavenly Father. It's important that we bring Him pleasure and glorify Him with our lives. Fourthly, I want you to look at a passage over in 1 Corinthians 6. You need to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay. And look at verse 19. He says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You were created by God for His glory, praise, and pleasure, and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wants to use you in many, many ways. For ye are bought with a price. That was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We've talked about that this morning pretty heavy. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Would you want to take Jesus Christ someplace He doesn't want to go? No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't go. You know, we sing songs, little kids' songs, you know. Well, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful with the feet where you go. You know, things like that. Same thing for adults, too. We need to be careful. And we need to guard our hearts. And we need to be careful in how we live for God and be a good testimony for God. He said, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Now, next, we find in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8 and 9, and it says, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." That pattern, you are a pattern. God is a pattern maker. He's using you as a pattern. You are a testimony pattern, amen? Your life is important to God. The guy that witnessed to me, I honestly don't know his name, the first person ever witnessed to me, but he was our corpsman, and we called him Doc, so I'll use Doc. Doc's testimony was a pattern to me of what a Christian should be. In your mind, if you're lost even, you know what a Christian should be. You know if you're not living for God. You know in your heart if you're saved or lost. You know that. But you don't like to admit it because that's pride. But the pattern is that I watched the man and I saw his life, and his life was a pattern. He didn't go to the old bars where other people went. He didn't do the things other people did. He lived for God. He read his Bible. He didn't have a foul mouth like most of the other sailors I knew. This guy had a very good attitude about many things. And he loved people. He cared about people, not only because he was a medic, but he cared about their spiritual life. Amen? You know, it's an important thing that we care about people in the right manner and that we present ourselves, as it were, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Romans 12:1 tells us, which is our reasonable service. It's only reasonable that we are the pattern that somebody says, well, I want to be like that guy. You know, I don't want to be like that old drunk over here. I want to be like that guy. He's doing something for God. I want to follow God. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen? We need to be a good testimony and a good pattern. Your life is an example to others. God wants us to be a pattern for others. In Psalm 11, verse 3, it says, if the foundation be destroyed, What can the righteous do? If you are building on a foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're doing right. That's the fine foundation. But if you're building on it anywhere else other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to lose. Here are some foundations that you and I should build our life upon for God. Number one, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, that's something, isn't it? Seek first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? That means put God first, amen? God, what would you get up in the morning and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And then do it. What does he want us to do every day? He wants us to live for him. He wants us to bring glory to him. He wants us to bring praise to him. He wants to be proud of us. Like our earthly father and family, they want to be proud of their children. And in the right kind of pride, I'm trying to say this. God loves us with a perfect love. He wants to use us for his glory. And he wants to be thrilled with what we do for him. Amen? And that brings pleasure to God. And so we seek first the kingdom of God. What do you want me to do, God? And then do what he said. Secondly, we say, well, I need these things. Well, he knows what your needs are. You know, he knows every need you have. My God shall supply all your what? Needs according to what? His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When God gives you something, it's for his glory. It's for a purpose. I know as a missionary, this is real important to me. When we first started out, I had one church supporting us. That was our home church, $100 a month. And back in 1977, that was the equivalent of about $1,000 today. But anyway, seriously, but anyway, they were the only church that supported us when I went to Bible school. And it was important to me that I got that support because my rent was $125 a month. You know, got to pay the rent. But then there's utilities, then there's other things. So I did work. And you know, the Bible says if a man don't work, he ought not to eat. These people that don't work, shame on them. If you're not working, you need to get busy. I know there's things, people that cannot work physically because of other problems. But there are people that can work and that they're not working. They're just lazy. I go around Oshkosh. Every place you look, including McDonald's, has signs, hiring, hiring, we're hiring. And nobody's applying. Why is that? They're doing better not working. The government is taking care of them. You realize communism will destroy America? Socialism will bring us down. When the Iron Curtain came down in Russia and Romania and these other countries, these people were so dependent on the government, they didn't know what to do. I mean, they were used to being told everything what to do every day, and they didn't have to do. They didn't know what to do, and it was difficult for them. And their economy was gone just about because all the money was obviously taken by the bureaucrats, right? We don't have that problem in America, do we? Anyway, but people themselves didn't know how to farm for themselves because they only knew what they had to do for somebody else and they weren't working for somebody else. See, you know, you feed somebody long enough and then you take away the food and see what happens to them. I read a thing about how to catch pigs in Arkansas. You build a trap. You put some food in there every day, and they go in. They eat the food. Then about the sixth day, they go in, and you spring the trap. And they don't mind. They stay there. That's what's happening to America, amen? And that's how they take over a country, and they destroy you. But we need to be working, working. A man don't work, he ought not to eat. Work is important. I remember I was working at the church in Tennessee, and at noon this one guy and two guys came in the print shop there. And one of them said, we went to the church office, and the secretary told us to come up here and see you because you'd give us each a dollar so we could go get something to eat. I said, what? Secretary said that? Yeah. And I said, really? I said, I'll tell you what. I'm going home for lunch in about half an hour. Why don't you work for a half hour, collate some scriptures, walk around the table, put together a few Bibles, whatever, and then you can come home with me and I'll feed you dinner. And this one guy says, what? I can make $50 panhandling in a half hour. I don't need to work. And I said, you don't need to eat either. And he said, what kind of Christian are you? I said, a smart one. I mean, I don't give money to people that aren't willing to work. Pastor Nelson used to have people come into the church all the time, and they're begging for money, need this, and don't have any gas, don't have this. Can you pay my light bill? And he said, well, our gym needs sweeping, and if you do that, I'll fill your gas tank. I'm not going to sweep for an hour. I'd take me over an hour. Oh, then you don't really need any gas. Okay. Scary, isn't it? That's the kind of society we have now. People don't want to work. It's scary. I worked in a factory many years, and I had helpers that helped me. And for 20 minutes every hour, they'd disappear into the bathroom. And I said to one guy, if I was you, I would be so ashamed to pick up my paycheck every week because of the amount of work I do. Or if I was you. I don't know how you make it. Sad, isn't it? He thinks that's the way to live. That business is no longer in existence. I said, you're going to kill. He's blaming me, going to put them out of work because I was productive. And I said, no, it's the other way around. Because you're not productive, this business is not going to last. And when I surrendered to the ministry and left that business now is folded and been bought out by somebody else, and those guys were out of work. Why is that? Because they would not work. I didn't work for the company. I worked for God. Remember who gives you strength every day to serve Him, to bring glory to Him, to bring praise to Him, to bring pleasure to Him, seeking Him every day first. That's what God wants for our lives. And if we put Him first, God will bless our lives. When I started there at the factory, I was working as the janitor. I was thrilled. I believe God gave me the job. Then the posting would come up, helper on a slitter press, okay. So I signed it, and people would laugh. Guys would say, you ain't going to get that. You've not been in the union, or you haven't got any seniority at all. You'll never get that. I said, that's okay. If I don't get it, fine. If God wants me to have it, I'll get it. Wouldn't you know it? I got it. I became a helper on the slitter press. And then a few weeks later, another posting went up for something else. I signed it, and they said, you can't get that. That's in another department. You'd have to have department seniority. I said, okay, well, if God wants me to have it, I'll get it. If you don't, that's fine. Guess what? I got it because nobody else wanted it. And I moved up. In 6 months, I went from the janitor to the press operator. And then the second shift foreman position came to me. Then they were working for me, amen? You see, it's God that raises us up. It's God that supplies our needs. It's God. See, when I would pray about this promotion or whatever, I said, Lord, it would be good if I could get this because I could give more to church. I could support more missionaries. I was putting God first, the kingdom of God first. I can meet my needs in my family and still do more for God. Amen. Our attitude about doing things for God ought to change, amen? We ought to put God first. Very important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't worry about adding things to your life. God will add things to your life. I've got more things than I want to know what to do with. I need a big rummage sale just to get rid of things, amen? Seriously. Things are not important to me. Doing what God wants me to do is important to me. Secondly, Galatians 2:20 tells me this. This is a foundation to build your life on. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me. That's something to build your foundation on, amen? He loves us with a perfect love. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly, the Bible tells us. He is interested in every detail of our lives. I probably told this story here, but I'll tell it again because it's something that I never want to forget it. When I was living in Delaware, our freezer got empty. And I was literally, God was supplying our needs. All my bills and utilities were being paid, but we didn't have a lot of money left over, you know. And one day we ran out of bread. Terrible thing, isn't it? We had peanut butter and jelly, but no bread. There were no lunches for the children at school. That's a terrible thing to go to school with no lunch. They could have ate the peanut butter without bread, but that's awful messy. But anyway, my wife told me that, and I was facetious. You ever been that way with God? I said, God said never bake bread. God will take care of it. He'll supply. Is that faith or foolishness? I don't know. You think about it. But anyway, I was foolish in the way I said it because I was saying, God, you've got to take care of me. You've got to do this. You can't tell God what to do. And God, I said, maybe some money will come in the mail. So we go to the mailbox. There's no mail. We go to church and working in the shop at the church, no mail. 10 o'clock in the morning, I get a call from a guy who lives over in Laurel, Delaware. You know where that is, don't you? His name was David Spinato. I didn't know his name when I first met him or first talked to him because he didn't mean much to me then. That was over 42 years ago. He said, my mother and I were having devotions this morning, and we prayed for you. You were at our church in Del Mar, Faith Baptist Church, and I shook your hand last month when you were there. Like I remember everybody who shakes my hand, right? And I said, oh, okay. So what is it? He said, God told me to give you something. I said, well, what is it? He said, well, I'd like to surprise you. I said, I really need to know because where are you? Where do you live? Oh, Laurel, Delaware. I'm living in Georgetown, and it's not that far away, but I had a Ford LTD with a 400 engine and less than an eighth of a tank of fuel. I had enough gas to get to his place, but in my pride, I didn't want to tell him. And so I said, is it really important? Can't I come tomorrow? He said, no, you need to come today. I said, but I really need to know what it is. He said, all right, I'll tell you. He said, every week I go to the bread store to buy used stale bread and whatever to feed to my hogs and other critters I have. I have 60,000 chickens at my chicken ranch or chicken farm or whatever you call it. But anyway, and God told me to give you some bread. I didn't want stale bread, you know. I'm thinking God said he'd never bake bread. I said, well, is it good bread? Well, yeah, he said, the weird thing was, he said, when I got there, they had three trucks come in loaded with bread and bread products that's still store fresh for the next five, six days. Nothing wrong with it. Not a thing wrong with it. Nothing stale. He said, and God told me to give you some. Wow. We jumped in the car, forgot all about the gas, drove all the way over there, get to the farm. He had a pickup truck with 4-foot sides loaded with bread and bread products. Ho-hos, Twinkies, fruit pies. That's why I look like this. We had every kind of bread, white bread, wheat bread, rye bread, light bread, you know, name it, dark bread. We filled up the back seat, the trunk. My son Danny went with us. He was two or three. And when we'd go to the store, because we didn't have a lot of extra money, and you've never done this, parents, when the kids want something, Dad, can I get some of these? No, I'm sorry, we can't afford it. I'm sorry, we'll get it another time. Maybe we can get it next week. And then keep putting it off, Ho-hos, he loved ho-hos. He had two grocery bags full of ho-hos. Those were his. He was carrying them. But anyway, God humbled me. God's seed never begged bread. I never said that ever since. God has supplied all my needs, even for bread, ever since then. We moved to Oshkosh. I get a phone call. Lady at the bread store, hostess bread store, says, we do this for all of the preachers that are in town, and we give you bread every week if you want it. You can get a whole rack of bread. I don't know how many loaves of bread are in a rack. A lot. I've never ran out of bread since. Never. Not only that, Dave Spinato says to me, after I talked to you on the phone, God said to me, Jim needs gas. Pull over to my gas pump here at the farm and fill up your tank. I don't know about you, but that gave me goosebumps, and it still does, thinking about how sensitive Dave and his mother were to my needs because God spoke to their heart. When was the last time you listened to God where you were a blessing to somebody else like that? I don't know about you, but I look for opportunities to serve God. We need to put him first. I was so humbled that this guy knew about my gas situation, knew about my bread situation, and nobody told him but God. If you don't think God's interested in every little detail of your life, you are not serving the right God. He cares about every detail. He is interested in everything that you do, because everything that you and I do needs to bring glory to him. He's our Father, Heavenly Father. He's the perfect Father. He loves us with a perfect love. We need to humble ourselves before a holy God and love him by serving him, putting him first. Obedience is better than sacrifice, the Bible says. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You're supposed to be dead to self, but alive unto God. Amen? When you got saved, you got a whole new address. You're no longer, this world is not your home. You're passing through. Your home is in heaven, somewhere beyond the blue. Amen? And you're going to rule and reign with God. Amen? Someday. And pretty soon, I think, too. Are you really ready? Are you bringing glory to God? Are you worshiping him here? And lastly, John 15, verse 7. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Think about that a minute. When was the last time you asked God for something special for somebody else so you could bring glory to God, and then God supplied it, and you saw God meet that need? I've seen it many, many times. I'm not a wealthy man, but I have a wealthy father. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. We serve a God that's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What's that power? Faith. Faith. To believe that God can. Faith is still the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible, impossible to please God. You can't bring him glory if you don't have faith in him, amen? Ask God. Pastor Nelson had a sign in his office said, attempt something so big that unless God intervenes, it's bound to fail. You know what most of us do when we're presented with a problem? I don't think I can do it. Ask God. He said, you have not because you ask not. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, but you got to ask him, amen? You have not. Why? Because you ask not. We need to ask him. Lord, I'm praying for my neighbors to get saved. Give me an opportunity to witness to my neighbors. Okay, if they turn you down, but at least he'll give you an opportunity. I guarantee you, if you ask God to give you an opportunity to witness to somebody, be ready to witness. Because it's going to happen, amen? God's interested in them more than you are. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So ask God according to his will. What's God's will? Well, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So ask him for somebody that you can win to Christ. We all ought to do that, amen? Be willing to give gospel tracts. Give tracts, witness, verse, whatever. I mean, it's important to get out the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you know, if people aren't getting saved, it's because we're not doing the job. Simple, right? He gave us a job to do. He said, occupy it till I come. Well, what are we supposed to do, God? Witness? Be faithful? Paul said it this way in Philippians 1, verse 20. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now, as also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That's a thought, amen? He said, Paul's the same guy who said in the next verse, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That ought to be our heartbeat. Trusting Christ and living for Christ. Jeremiah 3:33 is one of my favorite verses. He said, call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We needed some scriptures for the Philippines back in 2011. Missionary asked if we could raise the money to produce a 40-foot container. Yeah, that's a lot of money. That's about maybe $40,000, $50,000, okay? And then get it shipped to the Philippines. We prayed about it. And then some other guys got involved and prayed about it with us. And in 6.5 months, we not only shipped one container, God raised up 6 containers of Scripture. Bibles, New Testament, Scripture portions. And then God stirred the hearts of the printing society in the Philippines to print us 2 million four-color gospel tracts free. I didn't even call anybody. I just prayed. I don't know how God does it. I just know he does it. Amen? I don't even know where some things come from, but I know it came from him. You see, when you get a blessing, if you don't know who gave it to you, give God the glory. Amen? That's what we're here for, to glorify him. God, praise God. Carlos Demarest had a saying. He got it from a guy named Jack Pine. There's a word. There's a name for a guy who was living in Cornucopia, Wisconsin. How many know where that is? You know where Ashland is? Cornucopia, way up just a little north of Ashland. And Jack Pine worked for the U.S. Forestry Department. Where else could he get a job with a name like that, right? And Jack got saved when he was 66 years old. On Unshackled, they have his testimony. He's dead now, but his testimony is called the Bull Moose Story. He was the bull of the woods. He was a loud-mouthed, drinking, swearing, cursing man. And he got saved. Lost most of his vocabulary. Got in the Word of God. And then from then on, wherever he went, he shared his testimony with everybody. He'd talk to people. He'd put his arm around them and say, are you saved? They'd look at him like, are you nuts, you know? He said, no, I'm okay. He said, I just want to know, are you going to go to heaven when you die? He didn't know exactly how to witness. He was just loved people and cared about them. He went with me. I talked about going to Mexico and on a Mexico trip. And I didn't have a trip planned yet, but we're going to maybe this summer, I said, we're going to do this. He came to me after the service, said, I want to go with you on that trip. Here's the money. And he handed me $300 for the Mexico trip I didn't even have planned yet. So I had to plan a trip. Amen? And Jack and a bunch of other people got on the bus with us. We went down to Mexico. Jack is in this village. We're passing out tracts and literature to everybody, inviting them to a meeting that night. And it looks like it's really going to rain. And we're inside of a building with a tin roof. Think about that a minute. Tin roof. And it's going to rain hard. Do you know what the rain sounds like inside of a building with a tin roof? It's like being inside of a snare drum. I'm telling you, it was loud. And the preacher's trying to preach, and the drumming on the roof was so deafening, you couldn't hear anything. So we had a prayer meeting in the back of the church, and Jack was there, and a couple of the Mexican men were watching us. We circled up, we prayed, and asked God to stop the rain. Guess what God did? Call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We didn't want the rain stopped for us. We wanted them to hear the gospel. And God answered prayer. I could tell you story after story. I keep you here all night. I won't. But God stopped the rain. The invitation, the message was completed. The invitation was given. Jack walked up to these three older gentlemen, Mexican men, put his arms around the three of them. And he didn't speak a word of Spanish. He barely knew taco. Or you know, that's all he, I mean, he barely could understand or knew any language, Spanish at all. But he put his arms around those men, and they went forward with him. And the missionary said to him, "Why are you coming?" And they said, "This man, his love. We watched them pray about the rain and the drum and the noise, and we saw God work. We want to know that God." Those three men got saved because God had a heart for people. Amen. God used him. And his favorite saying was, "Praise God and shame on the devil." We ought to do that every day. Praise God. Shout once in a while. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to them that believe. Jack Pine led a lot of people to the Lord. He couldn't speak a lick of Spanish. But he'd put his arms around people and bring them right up to the altar, and the missionary would lead them to Christ. I saw it happen time and time again. Jack went with me on about four trips. Then he surrendered his life to serve God. Now he's 70 years old. Oh, man, you're old, you know? And he goes back up to his house up in, he owned 35 acres of beautiful land on Lake Superior, right in a little cove area. He didn't have much of a house, but he had beautiful land. Sold everything. Bought a motorhome. I went up and helped him pack. We loaded a vehicle and drove. I drove one of his vehicles down to El Paso. He worked with the missionaries in Mexico till his wife died. And then he had to go live with his son because his health was out because they got hit by a cement truck one day and he lost his health. But he served God even before he died, everywhere he went. First thing he did to people is told them how he got saved. And he told them, God loved them. And I love you. Even if I don't know you, I love you. Because God told me I have to love you. I don't have to like you, but I have to love you. Amen? And he loved people, and they knew he cared. God used Jack Pine. Well, Carlos Demers picked up on that saying, and when Jack died, Carlos took it over. I'm telling you, Carlos Demers was the man that God used to get me into the ministry. And he used that praise God and shame on the devil a lot. We all ought to praise God. Amen? Every day. We ought to sing his praises. Speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. That'll make your whole day better. Amen? Put God first in your life. Seek ye first, he said, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added. Conclusion of this thing is in Philippians 4:15. Now ye Philippians, he said, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessities. That was the apostle Paul speaking. And he said in chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippian church, all their needs were met because they were faithful to meet God's needs of the missionary Apostle Paul. They were faithful to God. They praised God. They gave God glory. These verses are all conditional that I've read you. They're conditional, and you must meet the conditions if you want to be blessed of God. You need to seek him. You need to abide in him. And you need to call upon him. Put God first and allow God to have his.